Welcome to On the Front Lines of Caregiving. I am your host, Lynette Whiteman. As a caregiver myself, I know that it's not always easy to know how to talk to someone about dying. It can be awkward, it can be embarrassing, and it could cause a lot of fear. This can lead us to miss opportunities to connect on a deeper level with those who are dying or comfort those who are grieving. My guest today is Katie Chambers, who is an end-of-life doula for Holistic Care Hospice. Katie is going to help us deal with this time in our caregiving journey and provide guidance about how to navigate this time in our lives. Welcome, Katie. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I think that most people are familiar with what hospice is by this point, if you've gotten to a certain age in your life. But explain to me what an end-of-life doula is. I don't think that's a term that people are really familiar with.
Sure. So an end-of-life doula is an added support person for the family and the patient as they navigate through their end-of-life journey. So I like to describe it as this. Most people have heard of a birthing doula or a midwife.
Yep.
So that is how this movement really was sparked. And a social worker working in hospice took a look at what he was seeing in end of life. And he said, I think we can do more. What else can we do? So he became a birthing doula. And he took those principles that are from the birthing doula, which is, you know, when we, as a birthing doula, you are supporting the expectant mother throughout the whole process of the pregnancy into the active phase of labor, and then typically after the baby is born with some support. So he took those principles and put them to the end of life. So when someone comes on to our service, I can meet with them. We can deepen the meaning of what's going to be happening on this journey. And I walk alongside them in conjunction with the rest of our team to help with some of that grief, to help with legacy projects. And then in the active phase of dying, an end-of-life doula can sit vigil and provide some vigil sitting with the family or without, depending on the needs of the patients and families.
That's beautiful. It's so interesting that it started with birthing, and it's just really the cycle of life that it was brought to. And when you're dealing with caregivers and getting ready to prepare them for the loss of their loved one and trying to deepen the meaning of this experience, what are some of the things that you, what do you discuss with them? What are some of the lessons that you've learned for caregivers to help them during this part of their responsibilities?
So what I like to do when the family is open to having a doula, you know, come on board with the family, I like to simply give them a gift of a journal. And when I give them this journal, I explain to them that I want them to use this journal in a very specific way. I don't want them to sit bedside and you know, and write, oh, Dad, you know, you're a little sleepy today. You know, we just gave you some med, you know, some medicine. You know, what I like to encourage the families to do is when you're sitting bedside, when you're reminiscing with your family, is write down those memories. You know, the first time your dad took you to a baseball game. You know, the time that your mom, you know, shared her recipe with you of her, you know, of your favorite chocolate chip cookies. I encourage these memories to go onto the form of paper because it works in two ways I have found. One, now we're bringing the family together. Hopefully we can include the patient if they are, you know, able to. And it opens up that conversation. And I have found that discussing these memories and including their loved one in those can actually really help with the grieving process for when that loved one dies. Mm-hmm. They now have this tangible object after their loved one passes away that they can now refer to. And it really becomes part of the legacy of that loved one. So I try to encourage families, and there are some families that are not open to that work and can't bring themselves. They find it to be too painful. But part of the role of the doula is to encourage them to try to open up those memories, yeah, and to really try to get the family involved in that process, because I do find that doing so does help with their grief.
And it really is a gift, because I think one of the things that is hard, everything's hard, but is hardest for families is when somebody dies suddenly and they aren't able to have those conversations with them. And there's always this regret that I wish I would have known that, or I wish I would have asked that sooner. So having this and being conscious about it seems like it really is a gift for the family that they'll have forever and they'll be able to cherish forever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's such a simple gift, right? It's really, it's a gift of time. It's a gift of just being present. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the best pieces of advice that I give to our families and even our patients that come onto our service is be present in the moment now. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know how long we have. We can't play God. So be able to be present and accept what is happening right now. And for some people, it's very easy to come to that acceptance. For others, it takes a little bit of time. And our job is to just walk alongside them, you know, while they figure that out.
Yeah. How do you help the person who is dying if they're just really afraid that they feel like they're not ready, or I don't know, we could get into that if anybody's ever ready, but if they feel like they're not ready and they're just really, really scared, how do you help somebody in that situation?
You know, I think there's a few things that can be happening in that moment. And because I'm so fortunate to be part of a beautiful team, right? So I have a social worker and a chaplain and an RN and, you know, our medical director, and there's all these different disciplines that can help with that. I think that the question that I would ask would be, what exactly are you afraid of and how can I help you with that fear? And depending on that answer, you know, I'll reach into my toolbox and figure out what we can do. Sometimes people are afraid of what it's going to be like, what's going to happen to me afterwards. And that is certainly when I would bring in my chaplain and I would say, you know, this looks like some spiritual distress that we're going through. Sometimes they're afraid because they're really not ready to let go, mm-hmm, because maybe there's some unfinished business. So, you know, to try to examine that, to say, you know, what does letting go mean to you, right? To the patient, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What does the word peace mean to you? Mm-hmm. And is this a good moment? What does this moment feel like right now? And sometimes just asking some very simple questions will bring out some answers that we weren't even expecting. So sometimes I'll hear, you know, I haven't really talked to my son in a few months, and I just feel like, you know, I really would like to talk to him. And, you know, now with technology and FaceTime and Skype, you know, we're able to hopefully resolve some of this unfinished business that they may have. Mm. I also find that we die the way we live, and there are some circumstances that we just can't change. So as much as I would like to solve every, you know, dying person's issue and help them resolve conflict, sadly, sometimes that just cannot be done. And like I said, you know, I see people die the way that they live. So any way that we can help with that, we're always going to do so.
That brings me to the question of caregivers. And caregivers, sometimes for people, it is such a arduous journey, and they have gotten angry along the way, or they felt like they didn't do everything that they could, or they didn't do everything right. And I don't know one caregiver actually that escapes this role without some sort of guilt. How do you counsel the caregivers at the end when they're not going to be able to make up for everything? How do you help the caregivers deal with that guilt that takes them to the end of their person's, the their loved one's life?
I think that they really need to be able to forgive themselves. I think even if they, I mean, I know that, just in my personal life, my mother has told me many times that she feels so guilty that she wasn't there when my grandmother passed. My mom was en route, right? And how many times have we heard that? They step out of the room and their loved one dies. Why wasn't I there? Why couldn't I get there fast enough? And I think the very simple answer is that time really does heal that wound. And I think that there's no real simple statement that we can say to someone except that they did everything they were supposed to do at that time, and they were exactly where they needed to be at that time. I think that it is that person's journey for them to be able to reprocess. A lot of the doula work, and even with the chaplaincy and social workers, we reprocess the death. So, about 4 weeks after the loved one dies, our team likes to come back together, and depending if the family is open to it, do like a reprocessing session. And a lot of times that's when those feelings will come up. Gee, did we give them too much medicine? Should I have left the room? Should I have come back into the room? And sometimes just having them talk it out and just being an active listener can help them walk through it. There's also a book that I love that is called Grief 365, and I always like to recommend that book to people because it's just a page a day, and you can keep it at your be bedside and open it up in the morning, and it gives you just a little bit of assistance with that grief, because the grief, everyone's journey is different, and there's really no right way to grieve. I think the important thing is that if you're really struggling, is that you have a support system that you can reach out to say, hey, this is going a little deeper, and I need some help.
And how do you recognize that, or what are the tips, or what are the signs that a caregiver should be aware of in themselves? I think, again, you get to a certain age and you've heard over and over again that everybody grieves differently. There's no timetable for grief. But is there times, or are there signs when, hey, maybe I sh this is different than normal grief, or it's going on differently? What are the signs that somebody should seek help if they're in a situation like that?
In my experience, it's very similar to signs of depression. So if we're really seeing that we can't kind of function throughout our day, if we're working and we're not able to focus, we're finding that maybe we can't get out of bed every day. We're finding it difficult to do the tasks that we do every day. I think that those are signs of, I need some help here. And, typically a hospice team follows, a family member for 13 months. And so I think that it's important if there was hospice involved in someone's journey, that they know to reach out to that team to say, I'm struggling. I find it difficult to concentrate. I'm, constantly thinking about, choices I made. I'm thinking about my loved one. I can't seem to get myself out of bed to go to work every day. Are there resources? Can someone help me? And I do find, people are, I find sometimes they don't want to attend a bereavement group. They're nervous. They don't know anyone there. But I really feel that a group that can come together and you can sit with other people and know that you're not alone is such a huge help, because you find when you open yourself up to these groups, you find, oh, I'm not alone. These people are feeling the same way I do. Or you find, oh, I felt like that and now I feel better. And you tend to help each other in these groups. So I think that's very important. But I do think it's important for that person, for that caregiver, you know, to not shut off, and to definitely, if they feel those signs and they feel like they can't, you know, make it through, that they need to ask someone for help, because there's plenty of resources out there to help with that.
It's interesting that the hospice follows people for 13 months. Is that because, like, at the 1 year anniversary, that's a very hard date? And I know for me, with my dad, I started reliving everything that happened and that day and that the time that he died. Is that the reason why hospice stays involved for 13 months, to get them through
Absolutely,
the year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, we have some special families that, you know, that sometimes call us after 18 months. You know, there's some families that leave a very special impression on us, or, you know, or vice versa, and we'll continue to reach out. But yes, that is the reason why, to get them through that 1 year anniversary, because that typically is a pretty tough one.
Yeah. And one of the things I hear often that the caregivers that we help will say is that the person that the older person is saying to them, I'm tired, I'm ready to die, I don't know why I'm still here, I just really would like to die. And it's not a suicide sort of fear, it's just that they are tired and they feel like they're done. And for caregivers, that can be really upsetting or scary. How do you help caregivers, or anybody, answer that question or deal with that when somebody in their life is saying that?
I think what I tend to do, and I encourage our families to do so, is when I hear, you know, why am I still here? You know, I will say simply, I'm not sure either. I'm not sure why, but what can I do to help you feel better right now? Mm. And it kind of goes back to what I touched on before, which is there something else happening in this person's journey that needs to be addressed, you know, body, mind, or spirit? Are they experiencing some added pain, you know, physical pain? You know, is there a new symptom that needs to be managed? Is there unfinished business, like I said before, right, that needs to be addressed? Sometimes those things are actually happening, and that's why they're saying statements like that. But the short answer is to kind of reflect back. I'm not sure why either, but what can we do now to make you feel a little bit better? We don't want to completely redirect them, because that could be their cue to you that they want to have a deeper conversation about this, right? You know, they may want to be, that could be a signal that they want to talk a little bit more about what might be going on in their end of life journey. Mm. So I think it's being patient. It's saying to them, gee, I don't know why either. What can we do right now? How can I help you right now? And I have found in my work that has been helpful to them. And in some cases, it has opened up the conversation to, you know, I'm lonely. I wish more people would visit me, you know? Mm-hmm. And we can kind of then come up with a solution to help that person feel better.
Yeah. It sounds like pretty much everything that you're saying is circling back to being present for the person, for just
Absolutely.
Hearing them, and then not shutting down either your feelings or their feelings, and just being open to what they're saying. Sounds like that's a theme in what you're saying to pretty much everything I'm asking, is just be present for people.
It really is true. And, you know, like you said in the beginning, it's hard to have these conversations, right? Where, you know, we're taught that, you know, we shouldn't talk about death, and it's not something to be discussed. And the inevitable truth is that it's going to happen to each and every one of us.
Yeah.
And to make it as best as what I call a good death is having those conversations early on, mm-hmm. knowing what your family member wants, mm-hmm. you know, asking those questions that are difficult. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know just with my own parents, I know all of their wishes, mm-hmm. and I, I, I know I will certainly be affected, you know, and when that time comes, but at least I'm not going to be confused about what they would have wanted.
Right.
And I think that that's where a lot of the guilt comes in that I see. When we have a situation where someone is declining very quickly, the conversation hasn't been had, and they don't know what their loved one would want in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
If those questions have already been answered, it relieves a lot of that caregiver stress of trying to make a decision for someone and then, you know, and not knowing what they should do.
Right.
So I think the open communication is really huge in these matters. And the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have those conversations with your loved ones when they're healthy,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to make their needs known.
And how do you, what you're doing is such a, I'm sure you feel like it's an honor to be part of these people's life at the time that you are entering it and being let in on such a deep level. But I imagine there's certain people that you connect to more, you have an affinity with. How do you handle personally being in this world? Do you live your life differently, you think, because you are an end-of-life doula?
I definitely do. I have been doing this work now for almost 3 years, and I didn't think it would have such an impact on me, but it most certainly has. And I know it's cliche, you know, to say life is short, but it truly is. And I feel that I have tried to be less judgmental, more accepting of everyone. We're all on this journey together. So I think that, you know, I've always been in healthcare, so I've always had that desire to help people. But I feel like this has just made me appreciate life, my family, you know, the flowers that bloom, so much more on such a broader level. And it really truly has. And it's strengthened my relationships with people and how important it is to tell that person that you love them, to show them that you appreciate them. So I think that's really, for me, what has really affected me the most is how I walk in this world.
That's great. Because not everybody could do what you do. So not a lot of people probably could do what you do. So the fact that you're gaining such wisdom and life lessons is wonderful. So I just wanted to recap a little bit about what you said. Number one, the book that Katie mentioned is called Grief 365. And I will get a link to that when I put it up this podcast. So it's called Grief 365. And the lesson really is just to be present for people, to just listen to what they're saying and open that conversation if they're leading you down that path. And don't be afraid. And I think most importantly, what you said, Katie, throughout all of this is that there is no timetable for grief, but if you feel like you are going down a path that you are feeling signs of depression, don't be afraid, don't be embarrassed to ask for help, because there is always help available for this. Is there?
Absolutely.
So people can learn more about where you work and your hospice. The name of your hospice is holisticcarehospice.org, www.holisticcarehospice.org. And then if somebody wanted to follow up with you or had a question, is there a way to contact you through that website, Katie? Is there a way for somebody to reach out to you?
Absolutely. And they can do that through the website, or they can email me personally. And my email is kchambers@holisticcarehospice.org.
Wonderful. And I'll also put that up when I post the podcast. So, Katie, I want to thank you so much for being with me today and taking the time. I think, again, there's so many people that pass away suddenly, or you don't have a chance to say goodbye to them. So if you have that opportunity, it sounds like you really should take advantage of it. Thank you for joining me today, Katie.
Thank you so much.
And thank all my listeners for joining me today also. I hope that you gained some insight. I hope that you gained some helpful information if you are in the path of your journey as a caregiver where end of life is coming closer, or you want to have those discussions with the people in your life. If you enjoyed my conversation today with Katie, please subscribe, review, and rate the podcast. It would really mean a lot to me. So I hope everyone has a really wonderful day, and I look forward to catching up next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.